From Phoenix to Fredonia, Tucson to Tuba City, the Arizona Department of Transportation is connecting Arizona. Everyone, everywhere, every day. Now you're connected to On the Road with ADOT.
Hi, this is Kathy Klein with ADOT, and we're here today with Greg Byers, who's the Deputy Director and the State Engineer. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So we're talking about roads today, and what we're going to be talking about is how does it determine where work is done? We've had a lot of questions about that, a lot of projects, obviously, in the last year or two. So can you give me an idea, what's the one thing the average person should know about what it takes to get new roads or improvements to existing roads done?
So probably the first thing that people don't realize is that the state's actually broken up into three different areas. So we have the MAG region, which is Maricopa County. We have the PAG region, which is Pima County. And then we have the rest of the state that we call Greater Arizona. So those three regions are broken up as to what projects are going to get done where, based on if it's in the MAG region, which is Maricopa County, they do their own project programming. So in other words, they select the projects that they want to do. Most of those are selected through their regional taxation authority. So the voters actually, when they approved the RTA, is what it's called, those projects were listed out. And so consequently, the majority of those projects are part of that tax plan. The same occurs in the Pima County area with their RTA. So that's how those two areas taken and those projects are developed. So the public actually has a lot of influence on those projects because it's part of the tax plan that was approved for it. Now, you got to remember, that's a 20-year plan. So, you know, unless you voted 20 years ago, you may not know exactly what was there. But there is some flexibility in those plans. So for Greater Arizona, which is the rest of the state, we have ADOT, has a priority planning system that we utilize for all of the projects across the state. Now, one of the things that leads more than anything else in that priority process is our long-range transportation plan. So that's a 20-year plan as well, but it gets updated every 5 years. So as time goes by, our priorities may change depending on that long-range transportation plan. Now, we do not do project-specific planning in that long-range transportation plan. We actually do it year by year. So as needs occur, we take and actually prioritize projects, put them into our five-year construction program, and they go out and get built. So that's how that works. The projects that we put out in that five-year program are usually only 1 to 2 years old. So in the third year of the program is where we place new projects that will go through the development process, actually get designed, and then in the last year actually get constructed.
So getting specific here, like, for example, let's say a person says, well, why can't we widen I-10 south of Phoenix, you know, tomorrow? So give me an example based on what you were going over. How quickly would that get implemented? So, and what affects it?
So I'm going to start with a typical project, then I'm going to come back to the project that you just mentioned. A typical project is, say we have the majority of all the projects we do are actually preservation projects. In other words, taking care of the pavements that we already have. So on those, those are all based on technical criteria as far as basically how bad's the road. So we don't really do what's called worst first. In other words, you know, pick the worst road in the state and take care of it first. Reason being is because that road that's the worst may only have a couple hundred cars a day that go on it, whereas another road that may be in a little better shape might have 30,000 cars a day going on it. So I think that $30,000 or 30,000 vehicles per day is a little more important. So therefore, that has a higher priority. So some projects like that, we can take and develop within 2 years and actually go to construction. So there's a lot of intermittent steps that occur in there. The majority of all those are because the majority of all the dollars that we use are federal dollars. And so there's a lot of strings attached to those federal dollars that we have to go through.
So in other words, it's not just as simple as, okay, we'll just pick some project and, you know, throw some money at it and people and all that. So we're talking about, we have to figure out, you know, what federal dollars are available, how many people use the road, things like that.
That's exactly correct. And not only that, but what condition are the roads in? We actually take and characterize our roads in good, fair, and poor condition. We take and report that information to Federal Highway Administration on an annual basis. And we take and spend a lot of time making those determinations. So that's the number one item that we have to do more than anything else is we certainly don't want to throw a lot of money at a road that's in good condition when there's roads in poor condition that we need to really take care of.
So what if a person in rural Arizona, for example, if they were to come up to you and say, hey, my road is in very cruddy condition, you know, we need you to fix this. What would you tell them to let them know, hey, we're not ignoring you, but, you know, what would you tell them this is how we determine what fixes this road and where?
Well, I think the first thing I'd tell them is, let me check into it, because I'm not going to ignore them. So, but the other thing is, and this is may sound like I'm kind of sidestepping a little bit, but the one big thing is we have to consider the entire state. So it's all systematic. So when somebody comes to me and says, you know, my road's in really poor condition, they may be correct. It may be one of the worst roads in there, and I'll check and see. And if it's a high priority project, I can tell them, hey, you know what? In the next couple of years, you're going to get some road work done. But it may be one that is very low on the priority list that it's, you know what? I hate to tell you this, but there's a lot of other roads across the state that are in much worse, much higher priority. And that's how we have to determine it. And that's not only just our thought process, that's also by state statute and by federal regulation that we have to do that.
Okay, so in other words, you know, it's not that we're ignoring rural roads and so forth, because that's another common complaint that, well, it seems that the roads in Phoenix get priority or the roads in Tucson get priority. So we're keeping an eye on everything across the state, in other words.
That's correct. And one of the other things, like I said, one of the reasons that I want to make sure that everybody understands how we divvy up the projects between the three different regions is, you know, in Maricopa County, because of the regional tax that they have that basically take care of the transportation, there's a lot of funds available for Maricopa County that are not available across the rest of the state. Those funds can only stay within Maricopa County. The same is held true down in Pima County with PAG, is it's only those taxpayers within that county that are putting forth those dollars. So it's intended for that county. So for the rest of the state or for Greater Arizona, it's only the state dollars and the federal dollars that we have to be able to take care of those roads.
And speaking of road work, another question we've gotten over the last couple of months is, you know, with all the repairs and all the new projects like the Broadway Curve, for example, people have been asking us, well, why couldn't this work get done during the COVID lockdown? So could you go over that a little bit? I mean, what determines that? And why couldn't we get it done?
So again, it's I'd say 90% of it is when do we have the money? When do we have the funds to be able to do it? And again, like I said, the majority of everything that we do is federal dollars. And so we got to jump through those hoops to get a hold of those dollars. So it's, you know, unfortunately, it takes a year or two worth of planning to be able to cross all the T's, dot all the I's to make sure that funding's available because we work on a reimbursement basis. In other words, we have to expend the money first and then we get reimbursed back. So if we don't cross all those T's and dot all those I's, we don't get the money coming back.
So Ken, when people write to their elected representatives and say, hey, we want, you know, transportation dollars, does that really make a difference?
It does. So to give you an idea, the last year's legislative session took and actually put, I think it was like somewhere in the neighborhood of about $150 million worth of projects out that were dedicated projects that the legislature dropped over to ADOT to complete. So they didn't go through our prioritization process. They went through the legislative process, and we were dictated to basically do those projects. That's great, because that was more money than what we had projected on ever having. Those are roads that we didn't have to come back and prioritize. So, you know, if the legislature does it again, which we hope they do, that's more roads that get rebuilt, get new pavement, or get reconstructed altogether. So it's wonderful that they do it. We're not going to say no to it, but it's a different process.
And speaking of money, of course, a lot of talk now has been about the gas tax and maybe doing a holiday on that. Does the gas tax have an impact on how much is available for road repairs and building?
So it has a huge impact. So right now the gas tax is 18 cents a gallon. We are one of the lowest states in the nation as far as what our gas tax is. We also have not had a change in our gas tax since 1991. So if you can imagine, you know, what was 18 cents worth in 1991 versus what it's worth today? So that makes a huge difference in the amount of funding that we have. You also got to remember that in 1991, the average vehicle got somewhere in a neighborhood of about 8 to 10 miles to a gallon. Today, it's 30 to 40 miles to a gallon, and there's a large percentage of those vehicles that are now electric. So we don't sell near as much gas as what we used to. So consequently, that's dropped in the amount of income that we receive as well.
Does ADOT have any plans as to what happens if vehicle efficiency continues to improve, you know, and we don't get as much from the gas tax, or, you know, if people decide to just all go all electric? In other words, does ADOT have a contingency plan if that revenue stream keeps dropping?
Well, actually, we've implemented a program over the last couple of years. We're calling it basically our short-term process. And what it is basically is we took a look at where have our roads gone in terms of condition. You know, what condition were they were 10 years ago compared to today? And what we've seen is a pretty dramatic decline in those, what the roadway conditions are. So what we're looking at doing now is, okay, how much money can we possibly put together so that we're spending it on the pavements that we currently have in place to try and either make them better or maintain at least where we're at with the dollars we have. So we've come up with two or three different strategies to be able to take and stretch those dollars as long as we possibly can to keep those roads in a good enough condition that we're not completely deteriorating roads and so forth. But that's a short-term strategy. It does not carry the long term of, okay, if this goes on for another 10 years, we may not be able to do that. So there's it's all based on money. And unfortunately, ADOT does not make the rules on where the money comes from. We just use what money we get.
So, okay, let's look ahead 10 years. And let's say we don't raise the gas tax in the state and the money really doesn't increase in the next 10 years. What are people looking at in terms of road condition? I mean, are citizens going to have to speak up about this, or what's going to happen?
So I'm going to be a really Debbie Downer here and say that if things keep going at the rate that we currently have for another 10 years and there is no increase, and you got to remember, we just had a huge boost, the IIJA, that just passed through the federal Congress. We got some money out of that, but because of inflation at the rates they are right now, basically the money that we got is just going to cover the inflation that we're currently having. So it's really not helping us out a lot. So, and I don't see another major influx of dollars coming in to help us. So there's going to have to be, you know, a fundamental change in how money comes through for infrastructure. If it doesn't come through in the next 10 years, there's states across the country right now that unfortunately in their very low use roads, it's actually cheaper for them to go through and rubbleize those roads. In other words, change them from pavement to gravel roads.
So is there any hope at all in terms of, you know, improving or at least maintaining roads throughout Arizona?
There is. One of the good things that we have is, I mean, technology is ever changing. And so consequently, there's always means of becoming much more efficient, much more effective in, on how we do things. I mean, our short-term strategy that we have right now is doing wonders because we're able to get a lot more lane miles maintained than what we have in the past. So, you know, if we can figure out even more ways of being effective and efficient, you know, we can stretch it that much further. So if we do get dollars, now we're even better off.
And in terms of efficiency, when let's look at projects that are currently going on, has ADOT been trying to maximize efficiency in terms of, you know, trying to keep roads open during construction? How does that process work, or has it been working?
So I think one of the best examples that we have right now is the Broadway curve. So right now we have a minimum of 3 lanes in each direction that is staying live during the course of construction. When we cannot do that, we're doing it with night work to try and minimize the amount of impact that we're having on the traveling public. The other thing we have is we have a huge outreach for public information to try and get the word out. When we can't maintain traffic flow the way people are used to, we make sure that that word gets out and people understand and know what's going on. And it's worked out extremely well so far on the Broadway Curve project. So they're becoming kind of a model project in a sense that we need to follow on in even much less populated areas that we're working in.
So communication, in other words, is key.
Oh,
just
yes.
Letting people know what's going on. Has that model, are they thinking about doing that for other major projects throughout the state?
Yes, very much so. We've got another project that's very similar to this. It's getting ready to kick off down in Tucson, where we're going to widen I-10 through Tucson. We're adding an additional lane in either direction. So it's going to be kind of in the same boat. So having that information out as far in advance as we can, having a public information campaign out before construction ever starts, so that people know what's going to happen, you know, avoid it if you can, find another route if you can, because if you don't, you can get stuck in potentially, some backups. So that's a huge item, I think, that we're starting to push out on almost all of the projects that we're doing now.
So for the future, for the average citizen, what's one thing that they can do to maybe help ADOT, maintain or build new roads or anything like that?
The one thing they can do, and I'm going to be part of that public information output here, that they can do more than anything else is slow down in our construction zones. That is paramount for safety purposes alone. That's huge. And when you can, avoid going through those. If there's an alternative route you can possibly take, That's the best thing that we can do.
This is Kathy Klein with ADOT, and you've been with Greg Byers and I, Deputy Director and State Engineer. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for spending some time on the road with ADOT. To learn more about ADOT, visit our website at azdot.gov, where you can also connect with our links to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Flickr, and YouTube. That's at azdot.gov. Goodbye for now, and thanks for being on the road with ADOT.